The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Sherlock's Pub on Westheimer for the Rock the Mic 2016 finale. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two at Sherlock's Pub on Westheimer near the Beltway for the Rock the Mic finale, which will begin at 5:45. So if you are in your car, get your butts out here, because crowd reaction will be taken into account. And I don't see all of our contestants yet, so you guys have until 5:30 to get here, because once we call you and you're not here, unless we really, really like you, and we probably don't, I don't think you're going to get to go. So come on out, man. This is a cool place. Talked about this a little bit the first hour. This is my favorite Sherlock's. It's got three levels of bars. It's huge. There's plenty of places to hang out. Good beer selection. I love all the Baker Street pubs, but come on out to this one tonight, because we're going to be here till 7, and we will have a winner.
Lamont says the thief is no doubt the cleaning service. If you leave it out and janitors come by, it's them. Here's why I don't think that's the case. A, I don't know how often janitors even come through our part of the building.
If you saw our place, I'd say once a month maybe.
Yeah. Their time is mostly taken up trying to clean up that disgusting bathroom. But B, like, janitors in general and, like, cleaning ladies at hotels, while that's an easy target to say they stole something, usually, here's a trigger alert, just in case this offends anyone. Usually those people are really, really careful because they're terrified to lose their jobs. So they're less likely to take something because they're not in a position that they can live if they lose their job. They don't have a fallback plan very often.
Well, I found something out yesterday by accident. There were two of the maintenance guys in our building I was riding up the elevator with, and they were talking about how one of them was saying, well, we're not working on the job. What are we supposed to do? And the other one said, just get on there and put in progress. And then they get up to our floor, and Esme says, oh, I've been waiting for you.
Oh, to fix a sink.
Yeah.
But the sink in our break room has been broken for like a month.
And apparently, I don't know how long it was that they'd been wandering around the building in progress. But that was when they went up there, and then, oh, okay, we'll go fix it. But the whole whoever they were telling their bosses, it was in progress.
Oh, boy.
So, sorry if that gets you in trouble, but you shouldn't have done that.
Still not fixed, by the way.
Of course it's not. It's in progress.
Yeah.
El Jefe sent this story that kind of following up on the triggering and all that. It just said, read the fourth paragraph of this story. It's from the New York Times. Apparently, this was at Brown University. Said, Mrs. Byron and some fellow task force members secured a meeting with administrators not long after Brown's president, Christina Paxson, announced that the university would hold a simultaneous competing talk to provide research and facts about the role of culture in sexual assault. Meanwhile, student volunteers put up posters advertising that a safe space would be available for anyone who found the debate too upsetting.
Oh, my God.
What the hell? So, talking about real issues is too upsetting, especially issues that are important to you? Okay. These are the people who are going to be, well, you know what? Never mind. I was about to say, these are the people who are going to be leading our country in 30 years. I look at the two tools that are running now, and it's like, okay, never mind. How can it be worse? Yeah. Maybe the safe space people should be running the country. Oh, boy. All right. Somebody, by the way, a follow-up on yesterday's Gym of the Day. Somebody sent, they released a video of the hockey goalie. It's on our Facebook page if you want to see it. So, talking about the college football season starting. I think it's kind of weird to do it a week early, but I guess with Australia they have to. I don't know that either of these teams are that interesting, but does it kind of give you something, at least for me, it kind of has me excited that there's actually a game tonight.
Yeah,
that
I'm with you. I mean, this is it's the first one. It's weird that it's so separated from the rest of the games. Like, I hate that
weird part.
Usually there's a first game, and then you go to sleep, and then you wake up, and it just starts to flood in. But that's not the case. We're going to have that first game, and then we have to wait like 5 days,
right?
And then it's going to flood in. But that's okay, because I've got a lot of stuff going on right now. I'm down to one episode left of Stranger Things.
Okay. And
which, thank you for. That was a good recommendation by you.
Not me. I didn't recommend that. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, well, who recommended it?
Everybody else that we know would recommend
it. Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
That's a good show.
So it's worth watching.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
I thought you recommended that.
No. I recommended Mr. Robot, which I might rescind at this point.
Okay. I haven't watched that yet. I've been too busy with Stranger Things, and Sunday is the last episode of The Night Of, so I'm going to have a couple books closed. September 2nd, season 2 of Narcos comes out, so I'm going to have to binge that, and then I'll have time for something new, but only in between football games. So my binge watching usually gets a lot slower when it's when football season starts, but I'm trying to get as much out of the way now before it's full blown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do Stranger Things next.
I think you'll like it a lot too, just because it's so 80s.
Yeah, that's what a couple of people have told me. So I was turned off when I heard it was about kids.
That's what I was too, but yeah. It doesn't matter.
That's why I was kind of waiting for you to watch that.
Yeah, it's a good show,
Mr. Robot. I'm this year has been. It just been completely strange, and the last week's episode was this like big reveal, and I just thought it was kind of stupid.
Yeah,
and this week really dragged. So I'm kind of it needs to, and now last year it sort of dragged in the middle, and then it really picked up at the end, and it was worthwhile. So far, I'm just not that blown away by it.
Okay,
so I'm not rescinding it yet, but if it doesn't get a hell of a lot better, a hell of a lot faster. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. And somebody was asking about going to B&B Butchers for dinner. I would just and was asking what to get. Whatever you do, have those carpet baggers, the appetizer.
Okay.
I don't, anything else you have is great, but have those. It's my recommendation. Okay, John, how you comfortable up here or what?
Yeah.
You seem
I'm
a little
just chilling.
Yeah. You should have a beer.
Strange.
You're not contributing much to the show.
Yeah,
this is your show.
No, it's our show.
It's our show.
I don't talk much anyway, so I just
I know, but this is a different role. You're not behind the screen anymore. You're not having to punch buttons, you're not having to hit the shame bell. You're not having to play keyboard cat.
When you started in radio, was your goal to be on the air?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Has that changed? Do you have no interest in that anymore?
It's kind of taken a back. It took a backseat a long time ago.
Do you find that most people who come in and are like producers?
Oh,
or
yeah,
interns,
they definitely want to.
Like,
be on
what
air.
Percentage?
90%, 95%.
Like even Philpott.
There's exceptions.
Philpott wants to be on the air, right?
Yeah, he wants to be on the air.
Michael Carroll doesn't.
No, he does not.
He's like the only one I know of that works there that has just zero interest in being on air.
He does. He doesn't. I didn't. Or I did at the when I first started. I don't really now.
What about this guy?
No.
Okay.
No.
He doesn't talk at all.
That's
right. He doesn't even have his microphone in front of his mouth.
That's true.
So he's a mime.
He's not even
unplugged.
Plugged in.
Yeah, see? Good.
That's the way it should be.
These guys a mime. How can you be a mime and be on radio?
No, but I think a lot of people start producing because they want to be on air, and that's the easiest gig to get is a producer. Other than because you know to be on air in a top 10 market, it's very very hard, and the easiest way to get there is through a producer role.
All right.
Well, except for the people who are here today, they get to be on air.
Oh yeah.
Well.
I mean, Liebeschock had to do push-ups and still lost.
But at the same time, you say that, but how many of the people that are on air at our station were producers here? The easiest way to get on air in a top 10 market is to be on air in a top 25 market first. That's the easiest way.
Well, I mean, I guess from what I'm saying is the easiest way to get onto a show is to be a producer and talk on the show.
To get a voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Got you.
Exactly.
But the more I think of it, did anyone at our station besides me work in a smaller market before they came here?
Granado?
Granado's been here forever.
Yeah, but he started somewhere else. I mean,
did he?
He has been here forever, but yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Raheel started here. He started at 1560.
He interned in Austin.
He interned for me in Austin, but his first radio job was here.
Huh. Dell was an intern at 1560.
Barry Warner's been in Houston forever. Fred started in this market.
Yeah, I think Dylan started in this market.
I'm the only one who actually earned my place here. That's what I've got to say. I'm the only one.
I would tell you, though, there's different paths. And I got this because I had spent way too much of my life being in this market doing something
doing
else.
Another sports-related job.
Which I started from the absolute bottom in that thing. I entered box scores off of a freaking fax machine.
Right.
That's how I got started. So.
And Salisbury, I mean, technically started nationally and then worked his way down to a bigger market than this and is now here. But I think I'm the only one who came from a smaller market to this market.
Well, Lewis came from, like, Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
He's not on air.
He is. Over on 1560.
Oh, Lord. Don't get me started on 1560. Those guys are coming from Connecticut School of Broadcasting straight onto the air. I mean, that's the whole different conversation. That doesn't count. Those guys aren't – that's not professional broadcasters. Are you kidding me? What are you, crazy?
We need safe words now.
Yeah.
What are those
Trigger warning.
He
might offend somebody on the other station.
Trigger warning. Everybody can get on the air at 1560. Do you know how to work a microphone? You've got a job. Let's face it.
I'm not going to say
all right,
it.
You guys just leave me out there. That's all
yeah,
right.
You. Well, because the next thing I was going to say was 10 times worse than what you were saying. So,
But the position that we are at now, Fred and I mean, we came from freaking Monday nights doing poker shows and
Saturday mornings at 8 a.m.
And Sunday.
I never had to do those types
of
things.
Well, and not only that, before that, actually, I was doing those shows, but I had to come in at 5 a.m. every morning and do updates during Mike and Mike. That was how I got started in radio. I was doing a weekend show with Jong and Matt Dean. Before that, it was Pikachu, before Jong.
Yeah.
And a Monday night poker show, and then being there every morning at 5 a.m., and believe me, being a single guy who was going out a lot, I can't tell you how many times that I would just go to sleep in that studio, that KRBE studio.
Oh, I did that plenty of times.
I mean, it was
– No, and then
– there were so many nights where I rolled in there at 4:50, still a mess from the night before. No,
and then being told that we had a midday show, and then that being pulled on us until we got the midday show.
And that was the worst, because when that didn't happen, that's when I took the teaching job.
Yeah.
Because I would figure, all right, well, I'm just going to teach. We'll do the weekend show part-time. Great. And then right when I started teaching, they say, oh, no, now you've got the 12 to 2 show. And so I went from – and I was stuck in that job for 2 years because I'd signed a contract. And, yeah, so it wasn't – it wasn't like we just walked into it. I mean,
yeah.
We kind of worked our way up, and Jong started answering phones on the poker show. And he was the one guy that was interested in what we were doing out of all the people who were there.
Right place, right time.
Yeah. And guess what? Look where he is now, sitting up here on stage, the star of the show.
No.
Well, guys, I got to tell you about HoustonCarsForKids.com. And I know you've heard me talk about this, but school has started, and they need your help. And it's real simple. If you've got a vehicle, it's not running anymore, or maybe it still is, and it's just you don't want to mess with it. You didn't know what to do with it. It doesn't matter. It could be a car, a truck. It could be a motorcycle. It could be a boat, anything. And you we're going to fix it up. You never got around to it. Or maybe these infernal floods that just never stop managed to get in it, and now you're like, okay, what am I going to do? Well, please, just donate it to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Because here's what they're going to do. No matter where you are, you can be in San Antonio. You can be in Lake Charles. You can be in Vidor. You can be in Nederland, Beaumont, any of those places. They're going to come and tow it free of charge no matter where you are. They take care of all the paperwork, so it's extremely easy. And on top of that, you're going to get a tax donation. So at the end of the year, when you turn in that tax form, it's going to be so nice to be able to take that off there. And you're getting rid of something you're not using anymore, and you're doing a great thing with it. And if you donate today, they're going to send you to see the Astros. That's just their way of saying thank you. But you got to tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. I was listening to Granato today. He said, don't tell them you heard about it from Fred when he was talking about something else. Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Forget those other shows, okay? Give them a call, and here's what they're going to do. They're going to take that money and that they get from those vehicles, and they're going to give it to kids at Houston Can Academies, and they're going to help these kids if they need glasses. And these are good kids, man. Kids that had to drop out of other schools for all kinds of reasons. They either had to get a job or family issues. Well, Houston Can Academies works around them, gives them another chance, and they're turning out great, great kids. So you can help. Get rid of something you're not using anymore. Take care of these kids. Feel good about yourself and go see the Astros. All you have to do, give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Saloon Door Brewing.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Sherlock's Pub on Westheimer for the Rock the Mic 2016 finale. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sherlock's on Westheimer. People starting to trickle in. There's still some tables, though, so if you get here, now's the time to get here, though, because it's starting to fill up. It's a terrific place, and all of our Rock the Mic contestants have made it.
We have three former champions in the house.
Yes, we do.
JT is here. He's the reigning defending. He has to pass his crown tonight. And then Barry and Mike Liebeschock, Barry Laminack and Mike Liebeschock are here. They do Houston Game Day on Sundays.
Terrific show. If you're tooling around on a Sunday, check those guys out.
Relatively
man.
Good show. I mean,
I like those guys.
It's better than a car show.
Now, to be fair, right? Most of the time on Sundays at that time, I'm so hungover from the night before that anything's going to sound either good or bad to me. So, but still, I enjoy their show. And they're fun guys to work with.
I think it's also smart of them to, like, when football starts, they just shut up. Like, okay, football's, it's time to start. Show's over. But that's the way it should be because they, like, some shows or some stations like to continue to run commentary or like, talk shows during that, like, afternoon, basically, where the reality is no one's listening. And then you're just talking to yourself. It's, yeah, I mean, yeah, they can hardly get people to listen when it's not, when the football game's not on. They don't want to do that. So it's a very smart show, very good. I like those guys. I don't know if Cam is going to be here.
He's on his way.
Oh, okay, so we're going to have, who else are we missing? Robert Parker?
These are all it. The four that came
These
out.
Are the ones that are coming. Okay.
Okay. So right. They get votes, right?
Yeah, they get votes. Okay. And I like to announce starting September 4th. Houston Game Day will be going 3 hours from 9 until 12 p.m. 9 a.m.
Oh,
9 p.m.
I didn't say p.m. Whoa.
Hey.
They deserve it.
Good thing y'all are doing 9 to 12, because if it would have been 10 to 1, my whole spiel would have just been wasted, and they'd look like total a-holes.
No. Mike and Barry do a great job on the station. Houston Game Day is two Rock the Mic winners.
This can be your future.
Yeah.
This can be your future. One other thing I've noticed about Rock the Mic, once you win it, you instantly gain 15 to 20 pounds.
Yeah.
They call him
all three of them. We've got offensive line over there now.
JT, my God, that dude was like slim and athletic last year. I mean, this dude was a stud, and now look at him. I mean, he looks like Mr. Potato Head over there, the black Mr. Potato Head. That, like, you could pull out, like, you could open up his ass and pull out a pair of shoes and, like, a hat, a top hat.
An umbrella.
He's got all that stuff stored in there.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day, it's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Trigger warning.
Uh-oh.
There will be a penis mentioned in this segment. So,
thank God. We didn't talk enough about that yesterday.
No, we didn't. Well, we didn't talk at all about Godzilla's penis. And apparently this is a question. Does Godzilla really have a penis? Writer and Godzilla expert Shyaporn Thirakulstit, who is a pop culture pseudoscience expert, has given lectures on Godzilla's biology for panels at the Smithsonian. He likens Godzilla's biology to that of most reptiles, pointing out that his hemipenal bulge at the base of the tail below the belly says, if you look at this area on Godzilla, you will notice the bulge. I don't see it. There are pictures. I don't really see it. If that is indeed the case for being as big as Godzilla is, not real impressively. Impressive.
He is of Asian origin, though.
Well, that's true. See, you could say that. Oh, you didn't trigger warning that.
No, but you trigger warning.
Okay, I did trigger warning.
John's Asian. He doesn't have to give a trigger warning.
Do Asians have trigger warnings?
Yes, of course, but he doesn't have to trigger warning his own people.
I don't know what I think that there's an actual Godzilla expert that gives speeches.
It's a made-up job.
First of all, why are we worried about Godzilla having or not having a penis before we discuss King Kong not having a penis?
I mean, that's a fair question.
He's a gorilla, which we know have penises. Giant dragon dinosaur lizards.
That were encased in a block of ice?
Yeah, there's no real one that we can look at.
I can see the shrinkage as long as he was in that ice block. And then.
But, like, King Kong legitimately walks around naked, and we've never seen his penis. That's more concerning than the Godzilla thing.
Well, someone should ask that question. Why does King Kong not have a penis?
If there's an expert King Kong guy, like, if there's a job open for that, I'm interested, is all I'm saying.
But does he have one, then?
I'm not an expert yet. I'm just saying I'll study.
You want to be an expert?
I want to say
you can't really apply for that job yet, then. Not until you go to school for it.
I'm just saying I'd volunteer to learn that. Like that, I'd dedicate my life to learning about King Kong.
Then you can go to a school that has a safe space.
Right.
Mike says
now the only safe space between King Kong's legs, there's nothing there.
Exactly. Maybe it really isn't a king. Maybe.
In fact, that girl on University of Texas campus might be running around with it.
That's it. Maybe she stole it.
That's a little small for King Kong.
That's not small for anybody.
No.
For King Kong?
Even King Kong. I mean, that's not, what's he going to put it in, really? I mean,
there's not Queen Kong running around.
Yeah, there's no Lady King Kong.
That's not small for Secretariat, man.
No.
All right, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Mike wants to get the shout out to his beautiful girlfriend, Adrienne. Is she actually listening to the show? She's probably not going to stay with you if she's listening.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. And we don't know if she's beautiful.
Well, we'll take his word for it.
Okay.
936, Jong is a legend, a true triple threat, producer, radio personality, and most of all, a singer.
Oh, God.
He is a good – he does have a beautiful voice.
He does. Yeah, we threw off poor Joel Blank when we had Jong doing karaoke. He kind of looked at both of us like, what the hell have I walked into? So.
Our reigning Rock the Mic winner over there, JT – busted out with the song last year, and I think that was a point.
That was a big move for him.
Yeah, it was.
It helped him. So, we will begin Rock the Mic. When we come back, we'll have RJ Bell. And then promptly after that, we will begin Rock the Mic at 5:45. So if you're a contestant, after the next break, you need to have your butt down here. AJ is going to pair you guys up and draw questions. And
I kind of want to have everybody... all the contestants come up here with their shirts off so I know how fat they can potentially get in the next year based on our earlier conversation.
I'm kind of okay with that.
Okay. I want to see our room for growth. If you're a really skinny dude, you're probably not going to be the Rock the Mic champion. Have we ever had one?
Yeah, we've had skinny dudes.
Who?
They just always get fat.
JT's the only one.
No. What's his name?
Cam.
Cam's pretty. He's pretty lean.
Yeah, he's still
Cam. Cam put on some weight.
The guy that won that didn't
Paisano.
Do anything. Yeah, Paisano. Joe Paisano. He was pretty lean. All our other ones are fat or get fat. I really think the fatter you are, the better.
Adrian wasn't that big when he won.
But
he
is now. Fat now.
Oh, no, he got big. I'm just saying at the time.
I really think the fatter you are or the fatter you have the potential of getting, the better your chance of winning this game.
Huh.
I think there's something to that's more than a trend. This is like a Madden curse.
I think you're right. Someone says Jong is dressed whiter
than
I am. The
Fatten curse.
All right. We have anything
yeah,
here?
DraftKings, buddy. Okay. It's that time of year. Football's starting up tonight, college anyway. That means week one of the NFL's right around the corner. You want to get your lineup set for DraftKings. Put all your knowledge to the test that you've studied for getting ready for your season-long fantasy team and get it ready to go on DraftKings for your shot at $1 million. That's the top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in week one. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You play when you want with the players you want. I got the 10th pick, so I can't have that guy. You have whoever you want. Pick your contest, draft your players, follow your team. Simple as that. You can challenge friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM, or join an existing league, go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, fantasy players from across the country. Whoever you want to play, whoever you want to dominate, you can do it at DraftKings.com. Hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your players. You could seriously cash in week one. Use code Houston, and you'll play for free with your first deposit. That's code Houston to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. That's DraftKings.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This segment with R.J. Bell is brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
A GE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live from Sherlock's Pub for Rock the Mic. And after this segment, which is always one of the best of the week, we'll need all our contestants to make their way up here. But right now, more importantly, time to talk to our good friend from pregame.com, R.J. Bell. R.J., how are you, my friend?
Excellent. I don't know if you guys have heard the news. Football kicks off in a few hours, regular season.
No, it does.
I'm already invested, my friend.
I don't know if you've heard the news, RJ, but Godzilla has a penis.
Huh, that makes sense. I mean, he seems very virile, you know, so yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I don't know who he's using it on, but he's got one.
So in the Australia game, right, interesting, I'm guessing you're on the dock.
No, I'm on the over 64 and a half.
Okay, interesting. So how are you accounting for the location?
Basically, I'm figuring that I do like, if I were going to take a side, I would take Hawaii because I'm guessing that even for them, I mean, they're used to that travel from Hawaii to the States. Having said that, I'm not really worried too much about the location. I know both these defenses are awful, and both offenses should put up points, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. Is this going to take a lot of action since it's the only game?
Yeah, I mean, listen, standalone games do so much better, especially the ones that would get lost in the shuffle. I mean, imagine this game on a full Saturday card, Cal and Hawaii. You know, we did a video on it. We did some podcast work on it. So it just shows you these standalones. There's a real opportunity with these standalones, though, during the year. One, you got so much more public money if you're a contrarian player that likes to go against the public bias like I do. I think the weekday games, whatever the public feels, it's just a little more of that, a little extra of the same concept and or bias in many cases, I think. And also they offer more prop bets. And, you know, if you're a daily fantasy player that dabbles in betting or vice versa, you know, these TV games have, you know, will this running back have over under 67 and a half yards? That kind of stuff, if you have a good feel for the players, can offer a real opportunity.
Those home dogs during the week, too, I love. I mean, that's one of those things that those Thursday night college games, it kind of balanced out a little bit last year, but the 2 years before that, home dogs were just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the enthusiasm of the crowd gets ratcheted up for sure when it's a TV game, especially at a location where that's not typical.
So, RJ, we've got how we talked about this on the show, but I wanted to get your take on it because the handle for the McGregor fight was against the NFL exhibition games. I don't know that I'm surprised because of the magnitude of the fight, but was that an unusual amount of money wagered on it, or was it just in comparison to the NFL, it was a lot?
All right, so, well, think about what you're saying there, right? Preseason is an exception, but still, you know, oh, it's just the NFL. So I think it really shows you where UFC is moving towards as a betting sport. But let's just quantify it in a couple ways. All right, so last Saturday night, McGregor Diaz, biggest bet fight in UFC history. Let's start there. One outlet, the biggest book in Vegas, CG Technology. They're at the Venetian, the M, the Cosmo, up and down the strip. They have like seven different, the Tropicana, seven or eight different outlets. Is they took $1 million just on that fight. All right. Now, if you took every preseason NFL game that night, there were seven preseason NFL games. Combined, they did about 100,000. So the one fight did 10 times as much as seven NFL games.
Wow.
Now, listen, preseason is preseason. But let me quantify it another way. Diaz McGregor versus the Olympics. In aggregate, over 2 weeks, every bet made, McGregor Diaz had slightly more action. So one fight, more than 2 weeks of the Olympics. So it really is showing you the trend. We've been talking for years that the trend line is upward and steep when it comes to the UFC, but it's finally getting to the point the numbers are starting to be very competitive. Now, listen, it's not going to compete with a regular season NFL game, but there's not many events during a year outside of those kind of, you know, NFL-type games that are going to do $1 million at one sports book here in Vegas. So, you know, who's to say how much longer the trend line stays this upward and steep, but it wouldn't take much longer. UFC is right in the middle of some of the most action heavy sports.
I also think that there's something to where when there's a fight, a prize fight, it's kind of the most old school type of thing you can bet on that, and like a race, because there's no point spread. It's just two guys, and one of them is going to win, one of them is going to lose. It's an easy thing to bet.
I disagree. Okay. I think inherently, now, if you and I were doing it heads up and no, right, no money line, I agree with you. Who's going to win? Oh, you want a guy A, I'll take guy B, right? And that's easy, and I agree. If it were like that, and if it were a true pick 'em, then you're right. But if I say, okay, now, again, you grew up with the odds. I mean, it, you know, so you're going to try to put yourself in an average person's position. All right? They like sports. They bet sometimes. But if I say, will the Patriots win by 7 points or more? That feels intuitive. Like, yeah, I think the Patriots are better. And, yeah, seven, man. If it was 6.5, I'd like it. Like, it's very easy to quantify that. But if I say, okay, the Patriots winning the game, you got to lay 180. It's just not like you can do the math and kind of get, well, here's what the, you know, win rate needs to be, and they need to, you know, win 60% of the time or whatever the math says. But now, you know, is this team going to win 60% of the time? It's just not intuitive. I have always found that I get asked every week how much action is on X, whatever X is. And what I always say is, in general, the amount of interest is going to dictate the amount of action. What's the TV ratings? How much are people talking about it on social media, et cetera? However you want to gauge the interest fairly, that's going to correlate with the betting action here in Vegas, except if it's a money line bet. If it's a money line bet, which requires minus 600, plus 400, all that stuff, then actually the action is going to be less. You know, 20, 30% would be my estimate, less than the interest, because that money line stops people not from betting it because they don't understand what plus 180 means. It's just they don't have as many strong feelings about it.
What, do you think the fact that this line was so close, and a lot, I think it might have closed at Diaz plus 110 or 108, something like that.
Yeah, it helps for sure.
That obviously pushes a lot of action, as opposed to when Conor McGregor, the first fight, was minus 600. you're not going to get a lot of play on a guy like that because there's no value to it.
Yeah, and when you – so there's a couple of points. When it's pick 'em or close to it, and people disregard – it's like, oh, I want to bet $50. Well, actually, you've got to bet, you know, $57.50 to win $50 because it's minus $115. No one cares, right? That, or at least the recreational bettors don't care, right? The pros certainly do, but the recreational guys don't. But there's a second reason when the line gets really – when the money line gets really high that it's a problem. And that second reason is – that it's usually going to be one-sided action. Very few people want to bet. For example, Team USA, they closed to win the basketball gold at minus 1,600. So you had to bet $16 to win a dollar, right? So do the math. So the idea of they're only going to play the dog or they're going to pass limits the action because some people just won't like the dog in a given spot. So, yes, the money line hinders the action, and a really, really big money line hinders the action even more.
All right, that's RJ Bell from pregame.com, joins us every week. RJ, as always, great stuff. Look forward to talking to you next week.
You know, that was like a let's make an analogous in college. That was like maybe a first semester, fourth year type discussion. You got to appreciate that, right? I sent you guys notes that said Michigan overrated, Ohio State underrated. You're like, oh, that's – I've heard that other places. Let's talk about money line action.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
We like to go a little deeper.
Love
you know
it.
That.
Thanks,
All right, bud. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week. All right, quick break, and then it is time for Rock the Mic for our eight finalists to get their butts up here. So when we come back, we'll set it up, and we'll do it. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
This segment with RJ Bell was brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
Visit AcceptanceAppliance.com for all your home appliance needs.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Sherlock's Pub on Westheimer for the Rock the Mic 2016 finale. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The Rock the Mic finale is at Sherlock's Pub right now. Who will become the champ? Join us now and find out. We're on Westheimer just off Beltway 8 West between 4 and 7 to cheer on your favorites. And if you're a finalist, your butt needs to be up here, by the way.
Yeah.
Did I not say that? We already can't follow instructions. Your finalists, get up here in this area here. And it's time. We have eight contestants. And at the end of this, one of you will be the champ. Seven of you will be failures.
Who has the most fat potential up here?
That's a good question. Well, we got guys who are already there.
Some strong contenders.
Yeah, I'm liking this.
Holly looks like she's got a long way to go, but she's a woman, so you know it can change in a hurry as soon as she gets married.
Yeah, exactly.
Syed, he's least likely to get fat.
Yeah, he's Arabic. You can only get fat
if you're half Arabic. We've got seven up here. Who are we missing?
Who's the eighth guy?
Victor went to the restroom. This is a bad time. Yeah. One thing I will say, this place usually has a bathroom attendant.
I hate that.
I hate it.
I mean, because I don't carry cash, and I feel like a dork. And then I feel like maybe I shouldn't wash my hands because then I can't tip him.
They make it so easy. The soap dispenser's on the wall. You push the button. You wash your hand. And the paper towel, the automatic paper towel dispenser's already there. But they still have to have a bathroom attendant. I'll never quite get it. So,
All right.
We have our contestants
yes,
here.
Let's do this. AJ, take it away, sir.
All right, the first round of this contest is going to be a head-to-head competition. I'm going to assign you each an opponent, and you will sit up here. And this is going to be one of those times where you're debating something, and you're going to have about – I want you to go for 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, back and forth a couple times. And the catch is you might not believe in what you're debating. I'm going to give you the side that you're taking, and you just have to make it work. So let's go with who's number one. I have Victor come up here and take a seat.
And headphones right there.
And Andrew Bryant, come on up and take a seat. Andrew Bryant, a veteran of this game. Victor, a veteran of this game,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, Victor's done this before.
Yep, last year.
All right.
Victor, a San Jacinto guy.
An even matchup, as it were.
All right. Victor and Andrew. Your debate is Jose Altuve and the MVP award. Andrew, you will give me an argument for why Jose Altuve is the MVP. Victor, you will give an argument against. Go ahead.
Jose Altuve is the MVP because he is absolutely tearing the laces off of the ball. He's putting people in scoring position. He leads Mike Trout in RBIs. He is absolutely, despite his diminutive stature, he is hands down the best hitter. He's the best putting people on base. Again, maybe not the best home run hitter, maybe not for power, but he's the guy that drives the engine. It's everybody looks at Correa. Everybody looks at probably not Colby Rasmus so much as they used to, but it's all about Altuve. And the reason that they're in the hunt is one man, and that's the little shortstop from Houston.
I agree with some of that, obviously.
You should. You totally should.
I agree with some of it. But the only problem is, how are you going to give an MVP to a team that doesn't make the playoffs? And that's the thing with the Astros. If they don't make the playoffs, the argument falls flat because Altuve by himself can't carry them to the playoffs. Now, in theory, obviously, you look at all the stats. You look where he's leading. But Correa's also being an RBI machine. You also got a guy like McHugh who's been strong for them at home. You got a guy like Doug Fister who was a great offseason acquisition who's got the most wins. So it's not all Altuve, although it certainly looks like it, and he's certainly having a phenomenal season. If the Astros don't make the playoffs, you know, the argument falls flat, and he's not the MVP.
I disagree. I don't think you have to make the playoffs. I know y'all will totally disagree on the playoff push because I've heard y'all say that your team has to be in the playoffs to have an MVP, but does MVP mean best player on best team? Does MVP mean you got to make the playoffs? Again, it's all subjective, and if you think that you have to make the playoffs to be an MVP, well, then by all means, it probably won't be Altuve. But again, the season still has a little bit of time, and we get on a hot streak, and maybe the Rangers dip down. You just never know what happens. There's still weeks to play in the season, and if they make the playoffs, then who wins the MVP?
Yeah, the counter-argument on that.
If they make the playoffs, who wins the MVP?
The counter-argument on that is if they don't make the playoffs.
But if they do.
If they make the playoffs, he's the MVP.
Okay.
But it's real tough that the Astros will make the playoffs. And you know what? You know what he also has to do? He has to show up against the Rangers. The Astros haven't won against the Rangers. That's a team they need to beat. They have six games, three home, three away for the rest of the season. And if Altuve doesn't show up against the best teams, against the Rangers, against the Mariners, who are in front of them in the wild card race, then you can't give him the MVP because for an MVP, you have to show up in the big time. And if Altuve doesn't show up in the big time, you can't give him the MVP.
All right. There you go, boys. Thank you very much.
Well, we got time for another pairing here before we get to
the top. Hit a break.
Yep.
Well, good. Let me get David and Syed up here.
Woo! All right.
I'm ready, man.
All right. Let's go with this one. Let's say for a second, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz 3 happens. David, you tell me why Conor McGregor wins the third matchup. Syed, you tell me why Nate Diaz wins the third matchup. Go ahead, guys.
Well, Conor McGregor is going to win the next matchup, and there will be a third round against these guys. Only a couple reasons why. Number one, Conor McGregor's been doing this for a while, and he has that spotlight and loves it. And now he's got something to prove. He just lost to Nate Diaz, and he lost out in one of the biggest matches in UFC history. This is a loudmouth guy who's confident and knows what he can do and knows he can do it well. And he just got laid out in a really great match. So I think Conor McGregor's going to come back. I think if it goes to the cards again, I think he's going to win it. But I don't think it's seen going that far. I'm calling the next round second round.
I think first to start off, Conor McGregor actually won the last one in the five-round war. So Conor actually won the last one.
Yeah, my bad.
But the thing with Nate Diaz is he's much better on the ground. Yeah, the only reason he lost the last one was because he had a problem bringing the fight to the ground.
Yep.
He had an injury heading in from training camp. I don't see that problem heading to the next fight. Nate Diaz's cardio is levels above Conor McGregor's. Striking-wise, McGregor is a better counterpuncher, but on the ground, Diaz is a black belt world champion. There's no way Conor McGregor can contend with him on the ground. It might be a close fight, but I don't see Nate Diaz with a full camp. The last one was a full camp, but Nate Diaz not being able to get the fight to the ground. So
definitely hurt him. And yeah, switch those fights around. My bad, apologizing. But I gotta say this: Nate Diaz was able to come in there that first the first fight and win, and he had no kind of practice. And then Conor McGregor came in. They knew each other's fights, and then Conor lost or Conor won. I think that it's going to come around this time where both these guys are going to be solid to each other, and I don't think Conor's going to let it go to the ground. He's too much of a ground. He's too much of a striker, and I think that he can dance around that ring a little more. I hear he's practicing at a new camp, and he's trying to get things going to where he doesn't. He knows how to kind of get out of those situations a little bit more. And I think the factor of just it's a third fight, man. Those are big fights. Those are the ones you've got to win. People remember the first and the second one, all right, but big three. Three is the one that matters.
It's a big fight, no doubt, and I think Diaz has shown that he rises to the occasions in big fights, whether you look at a Cerrone fight or Jim Miller, and that's the thing here. It's a trilogy fight, and Diaz lives for this. Conor McGregor has never exactly gone. This is the first time he went five rounds in the UFC, and basically, I mean, I'm not saying he got lucky, but he barely outlasted Nate Diaz in that last fight. His cardio barely held up in that fight. I just don't see two straight fights where
Conor
McGregor
denies. Well,
but this
is saying that Nate Diaz isn't going to get in trouble for the next fight.
All right, guys, that's enough. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. That's two down. We've got more to come.
Yeah,
I got to tell you guys about Man's Best Friend. Man's Best Friend, they can teach your pet to be a part of the team, guys. Don't make your dog guess what you want. Teach him so he'll know what you want. Training's going to make your dog a responsible family member. It's really the best thing you can do for your dog. If you've got a dog that you've got expectations of, make sure that he knows what to do. Train young so they know what to expect as they grow up. The professional training, the professional difference in dog training is Man's Best Friends. These guys have been doing it for a long time. They've got a great facility, open 7 days a week. It's an air-conditioned facility. And school's back in. You've got more time on your hands. Spend it wisely training that new or that old pet. They do boarding. They do training. They do grooming. They'll give you a free evaluation. They can customize a program for your dog. There's no reason not to bring these animals to Man's Best Friend and give them the best chance at being the good dog that you want them to be. Their address, 2331 Bingle Road in Houston. Or you can give them a call, 713-932-6709. Check them out at mansbestfriend.com. The great thing is, you tell them that you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5, you'll get 20% off your training services, just like that. Once again, 713-932-6709 or mansbestfriend.com. And remember, listeners get 20% off just by mentioning ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.